I'm Alana Roche.
And I'm Dr. Lauren Costine. And welcome to The Consciousness Salon.
The Consciousness Salon is a conversation where I, community activist Alana, meets with psychologist Dr. Lauren to explore current and historical issues in order to disrupt current paradigms and offer restorative tools and practices.
We will be discussing issues ranging from gender parity, misogyny, shadow work, microaggressions, looking at our internalized conscious or unconscious racism. And at the end of the day, how all of this affects how we feel about ourselves and others, and so much more.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Alana. How are you doing?
I'm good. Guess what I saw last night?
What did you say?
I saw Rocket Man.
Oh, my God.
So I think I should just really quickly say spoiler alert. If y'all haven't seen it, you should probably change to another episode.
Yeah. Don't listen to this episode until you've seen it. Unless you don't like to be spoiled.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about internalized homophobia today.
And Rocket Man is an incredible example of that, like showing it, you know. So we're going to talk about what it is, and then we get to talk about the illustration shown in the movie, which I think is so great.
I mean, it's an incredible film. So powerful.
Oh, so powerful.
And there's so many psychological components of that film that blew me away, that made me actually really proud that the film went above and beyond than just, you know, talking about the hot mess of the journey that is being in his shoes.
Yeah, or being just extraordinarily talented and then that's it, right?
Yeah, like you know, I'm just starting to see a lot of, I feel like these stories, like same with Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, where there's like this talent and they're young and drugs and all these things, right?
Yeah.
But with this film, I mean, there's a part that blew my mind, and we won't dive into this, but that...
But wait, you've got me wondering.
Oh,
I want to know now why.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, gosh. Okay, spoiler alert.
We're getting into the movie, so...
When
just,
he hugs his little boy.
Oh, okay, so we'll get into that. Okay.
I know.
Okay, but we'll get into
the
that.
The fact that that was in the film.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, writers.
Right. It's incredible.
For finally adding this piece that is so fundamental to our healing in this film.
Fundamental. So it's by far one of the most psychological films I've ever seen that is at blockbuster status.
Huge.
You know, if not the most psychological film I've ever seen that's at blockbuster status. I've never seen this done. Movies are getting more psychological.
Yes, they are.
Or narratives are.
Yep. They're evolving.
They're evolving as our culture evolves, as psychology is less stigma, and people are more curious and interested and and doing the inner work themselves.
And I loved it because the theater was filled with gay folks. And I forgot. Like, I'm going to the theater and I'm getting my popcorn. I'm looking around. There's all these lesbian couples and gay men. And I'm like, well, that's so interesting. We're all in the theater on the same day. You know, my friend turns to me. She's like, we're all seeing Rocket Man. And I was like, right. Because in my head, I know he's a gay man, but he's still Elton John before he's a gay man.
Oh.
He, as a musician, supersedes his sexual identity in my world.
That's interesting, because I really see him as a gay man. I don't know.
So we're going to go see this really flamboyant, maybe, but still musician, artist, performer. Oh,
extraordinary.
Yeah. Extraordinary. And then, oh, right. And also, he loves men. No big deal. That's like lower on the priority list for me.
Interesting. Okay. So I see his entire identity as part of his artistry, because there are very few men that would wear costumes like that.
Oh, and it is.
You know what I mean? Like,
it
they
is.
Just wouldn't do that unless they're gay.
No.
I mean,
100%. I just thought it was funny how I...
We're not getting it with the audience. You're like...
How I'm showing up to this film.
Oh, that's how you were showing up.
How I'm showing up.
Right.
Knowing all these things about him, But I'm like, oh yeah, right. This is the and you're right in the sense where his artistry
is totally
his songs, his lyrics, all that was birthed out of his own personal story and journey.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
And which I think that's pretty common with most
artists. Yes. Yes. And I mean, just to dive into kind of like, and it, parts of it are going to actually be connected to a podcast that we did last season too, called Gaslighting. So we'll get into that.
Oh yeah. We're going to touch on that a little bit.
We're going to touch first on a couple things. How this movie showed his own internalized homophobia.
Yeah, first and foremost.
First and foremost, because... So what is internalized homophobia? First of all, homophobia just is the fear and or hatred of homosexual love and sex and things like that, right? Same sex, love and sex. That's what it means. So when you internalize that, when you grow up in a homophobic world that is thousands of years in the making. We're not talking about hundreds. We're talking thousands. This started way back with the forefathers of Christianity, and it started in other cultures as well for their own reasons that we won't get into today. But the point is, it's been around for an extremely long time. This gets passed down generation to generation, ancestor to ancestor. These ingrained hateful messages,
right? Yeah, indoctrination.
And then when you're little, whether you know you are lesbian, gay, or bisexual, it does, like, these messages get internalized. And then say you do know, you're already, or you're being raised in a religious environment that's extremely homophobic, you're being forced as a child to sit in a church and you're hearing these messages and you know you're gay. You're like, I'm going to die. I'm going to hell.
Right.
Right. So these things get internalized. Or your parents have, on some level, it's more important how it makes them feel than making sure that their child is safe and nurtured and thriving in life. So you get that message of like, I have to take care of mom and dad's feelings or mom and mom's or whatever it is.
Codependence.
Right? Like, yes. And so that all gets internalized. And then it's just, you know, in the schools with the bullying, whatever ended up happening, you get these messages that get internalized. They affect a sense of self. They affect our feelings of self-worth. They affect how we love ourselves. And then addiction is a very common way to deal with those feelings.
Yeah.
It's like
self-hatred or just wanting to disown,
disown a part of
you.
You don't feel good.
You're trying to
numb.
Yeah.
Right? Now, it's important to say with the example of this movie, this is a piece of the pie because we obviously see his relationship with his mother.
It's compounded. Yeah.
She
starts,
is not nice.
Yeah.
Okay. She's really awful in a lot of
neglectful
ways. Very neglectful. She's not kind to him. She's not nurturing.
No nurturing.
And
not
she
nurturing.
Gets worse as she gets older. Like when he comes out, she just says, well, you know, what does she say? Do you remember? Because you saw it last night. I saw it last week.
Yeah, she says something along the lines of, well, you know, you're basically choosing a lifestyle where
you'll never be happy.
You're not going to be loved.
Oh, that's right. You'll never be loved. You'll never be loved.
And he's been wanting love and seeking love.
Because he didn't get any.
His whole life since he was a child.
And he did have that very
And to hear that as an adult after having that entire journey, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Heartbreaking.
Right. So that's the first time he comes out, right?
Yes.
Because his new manager boyfriend pushes him to do it, which makes sense. I mean, this is like, you know, come on, try to live your
authentic
life.
Well, he's operating from the logical brain as well.
Right. Yes.
Like, prepare the family. This is what's happening.
Right.
These are the steps
now
to take.
We're together now because that's his first
love.
Yes. And then he's got that quintessential distant, like, narcissistic dad. He's just super shut down and, you know, we could get into why it seems like he would do that with Elton and not his other sons later on. But, you know, maybe he sensed the gayness and his homophobia was, you know, he didn't treat his son well because of that.
We're not entirely sure, but
not entirely sure. That is some theorizing that could be happening. And so that's another piece of the puzzle. He did have this wonderful grandmother who really helped him launch his talent, right?
Launch his talent, but also teach him what love...
Yeah.
What being loved felt like.
Right.
Just in the most platonic, safe way possible, to the best of her ability as well.
Yeah. And in that really toxic environment.
In that toxic environment.
She gave it to him, and I'm sure that's a big piece of why he survived, because if you have one... And it's often not the parent that's giving you this unconditional love. You can really get something from that fuels you.
And didn't you mention that is also what created the resilience in him as well?
Exactly. That's
kind of fueled the resilience in him.
Yes, exactly. And so he had these horrific things that happened in his childhood. And then his mother was horrible to him when he came out. And then, of course, it was such a homophobic time. So he had to deal with that as he... launched into stardom, like, so quickly, and having to hide
it. In his early 20s.
Right. Just, like...
I mean, he was, launching through his stardom while trying to figure out his own identity, which sounds like most people in their 20s.
Exactly.
Right?
That's right.
But instead with, like, millions of people worldwide... Yeah, that's
overwhelming. And during not a time where it's safe. Like, it could have ruined his career. So... Yeah. He had to deal with that.
Hiding.
Right? Hiding, being in the closet. And then he had a girlfriend, and then he got married for a minute.
Yeah.
And that's that's a common sign of, like, internalized homophobia, right?
It's like, yeah.
I'm going to try this. And she did see him. She was kind, and she saw him, and he felt understood. He's like, okay,
finally,
I can do this.
You know? Someone who sees me.
Right. But then he's in there. He can't do that. Plus, he's a full-blown addict and alcoholic by then, right? So,
but these are all the symptoms that are coming, that are being birthed out of this specific issue of internalized homophobia. Right?
And these childhood traumas.
And the childhood traumas.
So internalized homophobia is a trauma. Having a mother like that is a trauma. Having a father like that is a trauma. Living in such a homophobic culture is a trauma. You know, all of it, right? And they're big T's and they're little T's, but they all get
stuck
inside.
Big T's and little T's.
Yes. You know, having a mom and dad like that is a big T.
Yeah.
Right?
Because it's creating the foundation.
Oh, yeah. Of feeling like you matter. Feeling like you're cared for and matter and you're loved for who you are. So that piece happens, and then you see him then pick... the most horrific first partner.
Yeah.
That's what we'll touch on the episode for a second. But go ahead.
Who's a seducer.
Seducer, very seductive, very handsome, so composed.
And he knows it.
Smart.
He's in control.
Yep.
He had a plan.
Yep.
He knew what was going on.
He really did, actually.
But really with internalized homophobia.
Yeah.
I
a
mean,
ton of it.
We are looking at, like, I guess I would like to look more at how internalized homophobia can be, how it can show up in ourselves. Like, what are other examples?
So
outside of, you know, what we've talked about in this movie. So,
well, I think that, if you don't mind me just saying that, I think the boyfriend is a good example of a internalized homophobia manifesting in a different way.
Okay, this is good.
He's externalizing it, right? So Elton's internalizing it, and it's all like, you know, I'm horrible, I'm this, I'm that. Okay.
Not worthy.
I'm going to drink, I'm going to drug.
Not valid.
Yes, exactly. That guy seemed to have a ton of confidence.
Yeah.
Right? Like, whoa, in spades. And, of course, part of that is totally real. And then another part of it, because he had so much narcissism, is it's an externalization of his own internalized homophobia on how he treats others, particularly his significant others, particularly how he treated Elton so horribly. He was so cruel to him and so awful to him. And that's another manifestation.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. So there's internalizers and there's externalizers.
Right.
You know, and externalizers don't look at themselves usually. It's they're that, well, that capacity seems to be missing.
Missing. I was just going to say, I mean, it's like the folk, it's like the people who project.
Yes.
Right.
It's the projection piece.
The outside just, of
yeah,
themselves.
It's all you. It's all you. It's all you.
Yeah.
Right. I also wanted to say, for those of you who listened to our gaslighting episode, this is one of the best examples I have seen in a movie in a long time showing gaslighting that we were talking about. The way his manager, boyfriend, treated him.
Yep.
Was classic.
Yep.
Classic. So if you want any examples, because I think we learned so much through narrative and yep. so much through other people's stories. And if you're still kind of like, okay, has this happened to me? Or I don't know. Watch The Way This Boyfriend Is and you'll be like, oh, okay, that's gaslighting. Got it. It just helps.
What's the specific example?
Well, I mean, it was just almost all the time he would, like, blame Elton. Like, Elton would have something happen, and he'd go, no, 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 it's because you did this.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that. I remember specifically, right, when he's like, oh, the boyfriend said to him, you're so predictable.
Yes.
And he's like, well, tell my parents to come next week. And he's like, that's what you said last week.
Right. Making it like you're crazy. You don't know what's going on.
You don't know what's going on.
I do.
You've been drinking and on drugs.
Right.
You're barely sober. I'm the one in control here. I'm the one making sure that you are operating and functioning and still have a career.
Yep.
And it's because of me.
Yes.
You don't get to tell me what to do.
Right. I'm going to tell you. I am managing this whole thing, and then I'm going to blame whatever problems we have on you.
On you.
And also the time where he's blatantly having sex with another man right there at their house.
Yeah.
And then he blames Elton for it. That was classic.
Classic.
Classic. Me, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yeah. You hired him.
Yeah, you hired him. Like, this is all
zero
you.
This is responsibility.
All on you.
Yeah. Zero.
And you can see Elton is like, you know, he's feeling crazy.
Yeah. So crazy.
So I also think then there's this beautiful article that came out shortly after it launched on May 31st, which talks about how this is the best movie that also links trauma to addiction that's ever been made.
Yes.
And it finally links it, that addiction is a mental health disorder that is connected to childhood trauma.
I mean, how is it that we're declaring this today? I mean, I feel like fairly common sense, you know?
Well, to you and me and
right, to a lot of people.
Do this work, it's common sense. But there are so
many people denying this
truth. And they think that it's just about stopping. Like, why can't you just stop?
Oh, gosh. I mean,
there's so much stigma.
Right, that's probably what it is. Because people who don't develop addictions with childhood trauma, to me, are superior. I'm blown away by their resilience.
I know. I agree. They usually have another kind of addiction, though. I have
one I can't see.
Right.
Oh, I see. One that's hidden.
It's just not, I mean,
it's
because
not visible.
The bottom line, alcohol and drugs is the most dangerous, right? It's the most.
And the most common.
And the most common. And you can die. Like, it's real. And you do very dangerous things in public, and you can get in trouble.
Oh, gosh.
You can hurt people.
You can get killed or kill someone.
Right. It's very serious, right? Where some of these other process addictions, you know, are less obvious, or it's not a tourniquet. It's not like an emergency room, I need a tourniquet on this limb or you're going to bleed out.
Got it.
Kind of addiction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely.
So that's the big thing. I mean, sex addiction obviously can be very dangerous too. And so is love addiction. I mean, I think one of the most classic movies, this is a straight movie, but The Great Gatsby, it's been made into a movie 9 times. 9 times. And it's the most classic example of love addiction I've ever seen, because this man does everything for the love he has for another woman who doesn't even care who he is. Does, I mean, she does. She goes into seduction mode and connects with him. But she is, walks away from him, no problem. And he's done everything and then ends up dying because of his love addiction towards her. And last thing, I think on the last note, just to say one more last thing.
Because I can go on a tangent about that movie.
Okay, do you want to?
I mean, I guess I just have a hard time with Hollywood being obsessed with that story.
Oh,
I'm like, why are we on number 9?
You
like, can we move on? Are we dealing with love addicts who are addicted to the film?
We're dealing with the fact that this problem is barely understood or known about.
Got
so
it.
The story keeps being told over and over again because people don't even know.
They're not aware
they're not
of
aware
love addiction.
At all.
Man, when I broke up with my ex-girlfriend a few years ago and talked about love addiction, I mean, she thought it was so silly.
Yeah.
It's not taken seriously.
There you go.
Yeah, it
That's
just
why
isn't.
It's told over and over again because, and it's in so many movies and people don't even realize it. So then they're just,
they're unconscious to it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of how I feel about what's the movie that just came out with Bradley Cooper?
Oh, A Star is Born.
It's like on number 5.
Yes.
Number 5. I think it's the 5th time.
Yes.
That it's been redone. I think it's trying to catch up to The Great Gatsby.
It probably will. So on a last note, what I'd like us to kind of wind down with is another way to look at this, because not everybody has love addiction or not everybody has addictions per se, but they do get dysregulated. When you have a childhood like Elton did, it's very dysregulating.
Oh, yes.
And then what happens is the drugs and alcohol temporarily make you feel regulated.
Mm.
Or
is it regulation or is it like subdued? So you're not.
It actually will make you feel regulated.
Oh,
for
okay.
A moment. Yeah.
Okay.
It really will.
Okay.
It will take it away. Oh, I feel.
Okay.
Know, I feel
it does.
Really, like it's a false sense.
Okay.
Of that.
Okay.
But it does, and it might actually give your dysregulated brains and
the endorphins and serotonin that it needs.
And dopamine.
Oh, dopamine, and GABA, that's right.
And things like that. It gives it to him temporarily. So you actually do have a real feeling of feeling regulated. But then once it's all gone, because it only temporarily attaches to the neuronal pathways, you are screwed.
Those withdrawals are real.
That's right.
I mean, it's not a laughing matter, but it is something to be mindful of.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll keep talking more about dysregulation because it's a helpful thing to understand.
Yeah, repetition.
And it's less stigmatizing.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yay.
Thanks for the insight again, Lauren.
Yeah, thank you for all your insights around the movie. That was great.
I'm glad we got to chat about this movie.
I know, me too.
And thank you to the creators and the writers.
Thank you so much. And for Elton for telling his story.
Yes.
He's so brave.
So brave. I really, really appreciate it because it's teaching all of us your vulnerability and your openness and transparency of your journey is allowing all of us to learn.
Exactly.
So thank you. Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Alana.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. See you next time.
The Consciousness Salon is owned, operated, and produced by Alana Roche and Dr. Lauren. Music is produced by DJ Roche and edited by Tyler Hood.
We would love to hear from you. There are a number of ways to contact us. My website is www.drlaurencostine.com. That is DrLaurenCostine. And I have a Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram page.
You can reach me at www.alanaroshay.com. That's AlanaRoShay. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter as well. This podcast represents the opinions of Dr. Lauren Costine and Alana Roche and their guests on the show. The content here should not be taken as medical advice. It is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult your healthcare professional for any medical or mental health questions. Thank you.